how to keep this short, right? Just feel. I feel like God's doing something a little bit different today. Let me give you a little bit of this, because I don't feel like last week, I feel like I didn't apply the message very well. So I want to give a little bit more information, a little bit more application from last week. When I was younger, I had the opportunity to go to a David Copperfield event. You guys remember David Copperfield, the great illusionist? You might have seen him on TV, making the Statue of Liberty disappear, or an airplane, or going through the Great Wall of China. Some friends of ours got my dad and I tickets, and I believe we were sitting right smack dab center front row. And it was pretty amazing to see him walk out into the middle of a crowd, just right up the aisle, and make a little paper mache heart and have it go levitate and light on fire. There's no way to explain it. But we know there is an explanation. We know that what's happening is what he wants you to see is what you see. It's a huge effect is what we want to see is what we see. We want to see the illusion. We want to see the lady cut in half. We want to see him disappear on one end of the stage and reappear in the audience somewhere. We could watch the other hand and look behind the curtain, we'd see something totally different. See, oftentimes what we expect to happen is what's actually going to happen. We expect it. We almost see it with our eyes, with our hearts. And then some sort of foreshadowing or self-fulfilling prophecy, that's what we get. It's very much the same with this theology I was speaking of last week. 400 years they've been preaching the defeat of the church. When you look at all their charts, and when you look at everything that they're saying, they may not say it in those exact words, but they come really close. They say the world's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. We can't stand it anymore. And then we're either going to get raptured, or the tribulation's going to come, and it's going to get really bad. So you better hope you're pre-trib raptured. Get out of here. They preach that the church is a great parenthesis of the plan of God. Not what God wanted. Imagine that. Let me show you the scripture real quick. Go to the book of Revelation, if you will. Revelation 13:8. See, what they say is that Jesus came. When Jesus came, he presented the Jews with the offer of a physical kingdom. But when they rejected that offer, the cross became an eventuality. It became necessary. It really wasn't what God was planning on. God wanted to have a physical kingdom. But the cross then became necessary. Revelation 13:8 says this, though. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. Everyone whose name has not been written in the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God's plan was always for Jews to become God. I know you believe that, but I'm going to go over some of these beliefs because first we need to, I've hit a few last week, I'm going to hit a few more today. It's not just our beliefs. I'm going to show you how it needs to change and affect our prayer lives and how not only our prayers, but how our actions. But it starts with a heart change. It starts with a mental change. It starts with us realizing what God wants to do. As we read and as we sang this morning, what God's plan has always been is to fill the earth with righteousness, peace, and joy. Now let me tell you what, if it is filled with righteousness and peace and joy, with his glory, if it's filled with that, it's going to get worse. Come on. If your home is filled with righteousness and peace and joy, is it a terrible place to be? Jesus was always the Lamb to come to God. Flip over a few pages to the left of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. One thing that they, you know, there's different. Their idea is that Jesus, when everything is so bad that Jesus has to interrupt the system, because him, he'll come back. I'm sure you guys have heard that. But Hebrews says this. Look at this is Hebrews 10, starting at verse 11. For every priest stands daily ministering, offering time after time the same sacrifices, which could never take away sins. But he, that's Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down where? What does your Bible say? At the right hand of God. Thank you. Waiting from that time onward. Okay, so where is Jesus now? At the right hand of God. And he's He's waiting from that time onward until. We talked about until last week. Until is a great little time word, isn't it? It means that's going to continue on until something else happens, right? Until what? His enemies are made a footstool for his feet. You see that? Is Jesus going to come back before his enemies are made a footstool? So can the world get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until Jesus comes back to make it better? Jesus is stuck on the chair up in heaven. On the throne. The throne of David. Until his enemies are made a footstool. But if we believe that it's going to get worse and worse, there's nothing that we can do about it. And that's exactly what's going to happen. But if we look and we say, you know what? No, our destiny is for the world to change. Our destiny is for the world to be filled with God, to be filled with his glory. If we look and say, that is our purpose in the world, what's going to happen? As we pray and as we do the things that God has us to do, we're going to get those results. Now, we've got a lot to overcome. This junk's been preached for over 100 years. And it's all over, especially the United States and Europe. And we're seeing the results of it because we believed a false theology. We've preached a false theology and we've gotten the exact result that we've preached. Until we start preaching and we start believing the fact that God is reigning and ruling today, they don't believe he's reigning. If you want, I'll show you in their books. I'll show you actual quotes. They believe he's been anointed king like David, but they don't believe he's actually reigning today. Really scary. If I told you a bunch of the names of people that teach this, you would know their names right away. I'm sure a lot of you have some of their books. They even will say that Jesus is in anti-room, waiting for the time that his Father will give him as the throne. If you want to flip to Acts 2, but it says, when Jesus ascended on high, this is Peter's sermon, it says that he sat down on the throne of his father David. The same throne I was just reading about in Hebrews 10. But how should it affect us? It should change our prayer life. We should change the way that we pray. The idea of in dispensationalism is that it's a hang on until he comes. And it's therefore that the prayer is oftentimes just, Lord, just give us the grace to hang on. Just give us the ability to withstand this mess. But our prayers should change. I was listening to a sermon message this last week, and then 2 weeks ago. And this gentleman was talking, he's in a different country, but he said, you know, he realized that one of the parties in their government had too much power, they had too many representatives, and it was causing their government to not function the way that God would want it to. So this isn't just he was thinking about, this is what he's talking and listening to the Lord in prayer. The Lord had given him the authority. So okay, what? I started praying and declaring that they would lose seats in their government. He said in 6 months it was cut in half. The seats that this one party held was cut in half. Now that's taking our prayers to the next level. It's looking at, you name it, our national government, our state government, our local, whatever you want to look at, looking at even the world system, saying, Lord, you've given this to us. If we want legislators that are going to legislate according to God's plan, let's demand in prayer that the other ones get out. And that God just put the ones in. We've been given that authority. Problems, we don't use it. We think that our government's a democracy. And if you want to say it's a republic, but it all falls under the kingship of Christ. And if his people will rise up and demand something, I'm not even saying demand it on the ballot, but we demand it in prayer. Let me tell you what, it's going to happen. God can cause the ballots to change. We don't have to have Supreme Court justices that legislate from the bench and make it difficult on Christians. We demand new ones, and I don't care who the president is. You can have the most liberal president in the country, we can get Supreme Court justices that will legislate morally and according to the Word of God and the Constitution. Why? Because God's kingdom rules. And He wants to rule through us. How do we do it? We start out in our prayers. We change our mind, we change our hearts, our attitude. We see the vision that God has given it and saying, look, we must go for victory. God has given us the nations. But if you don't believe, if you believe the nations lie in the hand of the Antichrist, you're going to get that exact thing. By the way, in John, in the letter to John, he talks about the Antichrist. It says it's a spirit. It's come. There's many of them that have risen. That's what we deal with Antichrist spirit a lot. But you know what? Jesus has overcome the world. And He's put all that junk under His feet and under our feet. But if you believe the other way, you're not going to get the victory. When you start believing that God has given it to us, you start believing for the nation, you start believing that the victory is ours, you start believing that God's kingdom will fill the earth, then you start praying and saying, God, give it to us. Give us this nation. Give us North Korea. Give us China. Give us Cuba. Give us India. Give us Pakistan. We don't like the way things are going on the different factions in Uganda. So Lord, break those things off and give us the northern part of Uganda. Because we know it's under Your rule, under Your kingship. Lord, give it to us. When we start praying those prayers, let me tell you what, God will respond with His kingdom purpose. You get what you believe. We also have to lift and act it out. As I was preparing this, I came up with an acronym. We have to give out rags. Random acts of God. When you're out in the community, it's our job to take the kingdom with us. We take everything with us, if you believe it. We take everything, every part of the kingdom, all the power of God within us. It's not just here. But you take it with you wherever it is you go, whether it's to work, whether it's to home, whether it's to the store, whether it's to a different organization. You take the kingdom of God and everything that means with you. The question is, what are you doing with it? Are you giving out rags? Are you giving out random acts of God to others? I was meeting with somebody maybe a week and a half ago now, and We were sitting in a restaurant, and this other gentleman is a minister as well. And I've never seen anybody do it this way. I've stopped and prayed for people. I've told you that I've done that. But the waitress came to deliver our food, and he grabbed us and said, "Oh, excuse me, ma'am. We're Christians, and we're about to bless our food. Would you like to join us in prayer?" And she said, sure. She put out her hand. And he said, kid, is there anything that, as we bless her, is there anything that I can pray for you about? And she said, yeah. She mentioned something. And so the three of us just, bowed our heads and prayed right there. Able to pray for her need. Are you bold enough to look and to hear, to listen to God and say, you know what, this person needs a touch. I'm going to just stop. I don't know who they are. And a great way is to start a conversation is, hey, do you need some prayer? Anything I can pray with you about? Maybe you're not quite bold enough to just go up to somebody who's sick and say, you know what, I'm going to, here, give me your hand in the name of Jesus, be well. You can stop and say, hey, can I pray for you? I tell you, most of the time, they're going to say, sure, I'll accept that prayer. Have I been rejected? Yeah. Number of times. But most of the time, people say, sure. They may not know Jesus from Muhammad, but they'll say, sure, you can pray for me. It's a great opportunity to let the kingdom of God come through you. Will you do that? Will you do that? Will you look at the people around you? They may need peace. They may need hope. They may need salvation. They may need forgiveness. People are bound up everywhere. They're bound in chains and they are crying out for somebody to set them free. Will you be that person? Because if you are an ambassador of the kingdom of God, God's given you the ability to do it. It takes all of us. But God's called an army. Call an army together. What he wants is for victory. Unfortunately, I think so much of his army is either AWOL or they've laid down their arms. They said, no, there's giants in the land. It's too big. They've got too big of weapons. Once again, his voice is calling out and saying, is there an army of God who will take the land? I'm asking you this morning, will you be part of that? Will you be part of that army of God who will take up our weapons of warfare? Look at Ephesians chapter 6. He's given us the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. He's given us the shield of faith. Burn our loins with truth, put on the gospel of peace for our shoes. We take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And our armor looks just like God's. Isn't that awesome? When the devil sees us coming, we look just like God. And he starts quaking at his boots. Will you join? Will you take up arms? I'm not talking about physical guns and bullets and knives and swords, but I am talking about the sword of the Spirit. I'm talking about getting on your knees. I'm talking about getting out beyond these four walls and touching everybody that you can. And asking the Lord every time that you're around anybody else, saying, okay, God, who in here needs a touch? Intentional. Intentional wraps. Intentional random acts of God. Who needs a touch here? Okay, I'm going to touch them. You just put up your feelers every time you walk into a store, every time you walk into work, and you're looking around saying, okay, God, who needs a blessing today? That's how you take the kingdom of God out. question is, will you do it? Will you join that army? Because God wants an army that if they will join up, if they will take up arms, if they will say, yes, Lord, the victory is ensured. It's absolute. But if they're AWOL, they're not in order. They lay their arms down. They believe that the enemy is too big for us. Not away from somebody else. I know where I'm at. I'm saying charge. I want that victory. I want it for my generation. I want to see it.